This is straight vodka, so I don't
know. God, this is straight vodka.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Rough Housing. Today, John Martin's out. He's off saving the world, cats and trees, whatnot. This is our lovely protege, Vanessa Fallon, and she's going to be filling in. She's going to bring that extra little flair to the episodes.
Yeah.
When we can get her. And we have an awesome podcast today. We are being joined by Luis Ortiz and Ryan Carrillo from Assumable.io. Correct, guys? Am I on target here?
Okay, wonderful. Assumable.io, yeah.
And we're going to be exploring just life in general and finance and real estate and everything in between. So I know I'm talking a lot, and I'll try to keep that to a minimum. But can you hit that for me?
My bad.
It's all right. First time podcast stuff. Anyways, one thing I like to do is kind of let everyone in the audience know, hey, look, this isn't your success tips in life. I am not a motivational speaker. Some of us may be. I'm not going to take up that flag, and I feel like it's kind of hollow or whatever it is. People might get offended. People may not like the jokes. People may not like that we're drinking or doing whatever on this podcast. And if that's a problem, then go ahead and leave now, because this is not the one for you. We're here to have fun, talk about things and everything else. Oh, my gosh. Did you handwrite this? Shame on you, Katie. Handwritten our show notes here. We need to have like a little tent. But anyways, if y'all can't handle it, please step out. Or, you know, before that, like, subscribe, share, do all those other things. But we want to have a good time here. Point's been made. Go on now, get. And don't forget to like, subscribe, share, tell everybody in the world about it. And also, we are seeking sponsors. Anyone who is wanting to promote their brand, their business, their influence, you know, we're happy to put you out there. I can do a live read. Vanessa is willing to get a tattoo done of your product and put it somewhere on her body based on votes from online.
Put it on the line.
Yeah, I know.
That's right.
Hey, this is how you make businesses happen. And we want to put you out there. So please check out the show descriptions in whatever sort of podcast medium that you're looking at. But we're happy to promote you and get your message out there. Talk to us. Let's do it. Anyways, those are my disclaimers and whatnot for the podcast. So ready to rock and roll?
Do you do that every time?
I tried. Yes, I do. I think it's going to be a video in the future, though. We have plans.
Oh, like it's a lot. Recording. It is kind of a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It'd be fun to kind of like have it ready to go, script it out. Having to remember it every single time is kind of a bitch, to be frank. And I mess it up, and it's all like merging into one Justin matzo ball sandwich. But it needs to be said. Right?
But does
people
it?
People losing their minds.
Does it?
Well, we do want them to like, subscribe, share.
Right.
We want them to like, subscribe, share. We want sponsors.
Right.
And we want haters to go.
What? I love the haters.
Well, I guess. I mean, I guess that's fine.
They keep it interesting.
Hate all you want. I guess if you're what is the phrase? If you're not, is that, who is that? Who's?
Wait, I just did it. I don't know what's going on.
Fucking phone.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
Third time's a charm. Okay, my bad. Sorry, everybody.
What did you do last time?
I don't know.
All right. Anyways, but I guess if you're not, what is the phrase? If you're not hated, you're not that big.
Oh, I can't remember.
Is that the case? Exactly. If you don't have haters, do y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I forget the phrase.
I can't think of the one either.
If people don't hate you, then the essence is you might be insignificant,
it's
right?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. You're hiding. Who knows? Anyways, let's talk to our guest. Luis and Ryan, yes, I was about to say Luis, and I was like, I don't want to say it. Guys, we want to highlight what y'all are doing here. I think it's very much kind of a sign of the market, sign of the times. Either one of y'all, dude, pitch us what you do.
For sure. I can take this one. So our story is unique, and we founded this out of personal necessity. I was interviewed by the Wall Street Journal late 2022 about how, as a home buyer, everything was changing for me in this rising rate environment. Put an offer in on a home, it really just didn't make sense with mortgage rates. And so I was frustrated, discovered Assumable mortgages, and really was shocked to see there's no way to find them, no way to easily find Assumable mortgages. Lou is a veteran, a 7-year veteran of the Army. And for those of you that don't know, Assumable mortgages are government-backed VA, FHA, and USDA loans. So Lou had already heard of Assumable mortgages being having taken advantage of that VA benefit numerous times. And it was an idea when I pitched to him, he was like, how does this not exist? Are we psychos? Like, let's check this out and go down this path. And so we did. And now you find us here at the center of the industry, the only national platform where you can find and buy homes with an assumable mortgage. And like you said, it's a sign of the times, a sign of the market. We had kind of based this business betting that rates would not come down, that the assumable mortgage and especially homes originated 2018 to 2021 would be hot items. And it's looking like that is the case because rates are at a 22-year high. But luckily with an assumable mortgage, you could stand to save thousands a month and hundreds of thousands in interest over the life of the loan.
Who has access to this app? I mean, would you mention, and Lewis, thank you so much for your service. Always want to give it up for everyone who's put their life on the line or at least helped this country be better. Who is this only for people who qualify for those types of loans or can, or is this kind of like, or is this, or these loans, can everyone get to them? Who's all going to be the market for this?
So,
yes.
If you want to go ahead, if you don't mind, Lou. So
yeah, sure.
Anyone can assume one of these loans, even a VA loan. Military service is not a requirement to assume the VA loan. And as long as you meet the lender requirements and you own or occupy, yes, you can assume the loan.
Okay.
And our platform is openly accessible to anyone. You can log in right now, assumable.io. Start browsing your area. We're in all 50 states. Check us out.
Cool. What is your, so with this, and obviously we can't exactly pull it up right now. When you interface with this, how are y'all, well, I don't want to give off the secret sauce because I'm curious, like, how do you guys find these loans? Every loan is a private loan situation. Is that where y'all have done the work? You did the math and you're like, hey, we can do this and we can put this out there? Or does someone have to like subscribe and add their loan onto this thing to create users, to create opportunities?
No, and it's an interesting question, and you're right. We won't give away the secret.
Please don't protect it.
I mean, I think, you know, one thing that, like, you know, Facebook, all these major, you know, tech brands have taught us is that, like, the information's out there somewhere. If you know where to look, sometimes you have to pay for that information. But that's kind of the deal. It's the mortgage information, you'd be shocked at, like, the amount, the granularity of detail about your particular transaction that's out there and findable. And so, you know, we did the work, we talked with, you know, dozens of data providers, and, you know, what we've found actually is that, you know, our data is comparable to, you know, some of the very largest platforms. And that was the interesting discovery on our part is, you know, really, we looked at Zillow, we looked at, you know, all of these other platforms, and we were like, you know, why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they showing this information to people? And you can search, you can go into the keyword search on Zillow. You know, we fully acknowledge this. You can find some of that, but when you compare what you can find on like Zillow or some of these other platforms to what's on our platform, it's like a fraction. And so we're like, okay, this is very strange. And so that kind of unveiled to us that a big component of this is just like the education piece, right? People don't know about it. They don't really, you know, they're like, wow, I was able to get a great rate. You know, not put a ton down if it's FHA or VA, and you know, but they don't realize kind of the asset that they're holding, you know, in the mortgage of their house.
Are you, pardon me for jumping in. Okay. Are you fed by current listings or does a user have to seek you out? Like, do y'all somehow have access to some sort of syndicated feed from the MLS systems all around the country, and then based on what individual agents are putting on their listings, assumable loan, like, are y'all pulling data from a feed, or do people have to come to you?
We're compiling into a data model, so we're using a variety of sources, explicitly not the MLS, which has allowed us to go national. I think relying upon the MLS presents its own challenges that we don't need to go into that other platforms face, but we've created a data model with a variety of sources that, yes, pulls from active listings, but we also offer premium features. Some people just put their listings up on our website that are not on the MLS that are trying to reach our dedicated audience looking for assumable mortgages, but that's a very tiny fraction for now. The majority is yes, pulling from active listings that are on the market.
I mean, I'm game. I think anyone who's in kind of our line of work right now, at least if they're investors or anything like that, whatever, if current interest rates are making it very challenging to purchase properties. And for like right now, if someone wants, if an investor wanted to go buy in, they're on a single family home, they're having to at least put down a minimum of 20% just to get a property. Like we deal with investors, primary buyers, stuff like that. But investors would have to put down a minimum of 20%, 25% for multifamily, if that's the case. But I'm kind of finding that in order to cash flow, investors are having to put in more. Especially if like for some of the companies that I'm involved in, if they get management and all these other things, if the investors are in state or not, they're having to put down more than those percentages. So in this situation, when these loans are assumed, what are the obligations of the buyers at that point? Do y'all get involved? Like y'all seem like a matchmaking service, but what do y'all do as far as people assuming the loans? Is there, what money has to be put down by the buyer at that point in time? Does it have to be comparable amounts, like 20 or 25%?
Yeah, let me break this down. There's a few questions here I'll unpack.
Sorry, that was a lot.
On the investor side, it's important to note, anyone listening to this, you have to owner occupy for 12 months if you're going to assume one of these government-backed loans. You sign that when you assume the loan. It's still a great option for investors who can owner occupy for 12 months and then move on to the next one, right?
Yeah, just keep rolling up. I mean, that's how I started with what I was doing.
On the next piece, you asked kind of the costs involved, and this is where we're finding synergy. Love that word. Hey, sorry to use
it. It's like 2010 buzzwords.
Synergy. You know, there's this sweet spot of a home that was bought a few years ago, so the equity position isn't as large as perhaps something bought a decade ago, because you have to come up currently. The only way to assume the home is you have to have the cash on hand to close the equity gap. So if you buy a house for $500,000, they owe $400,000. You have to find that $100,000 in cash to close. Lots of people have that kind of money though, so I know it feels like a barrier, but we're finding on average our customers have about $125,000 that they're ready to put and mobilize to their assumption. It's not as low as you may think. We get a lot of questions about lending. Can we take a loan for that equity gap? Currently, no, but that's something as a platform and a team we're trying to work on. We have lenders identified who would love to offer that second position lending option, but we're working with servicers to begin being okay accepting them. You know, if these things keep going the direction we think, we see that as an opportunity to make assumables way more accessible to more Americans. And I think the third piece here is, did I cover everything or am I missing?
Dude, you're doing great. Yeah. I mean, I threw everything at you. It was a very hairy question.
Yeah. So I think that kind of explains the difference from the 20% down to closing the equity gap. And it's really a case-by-case basis. It's up to you, of course, as the buyer and the seller. The third part of the question was, what do we provide? Obviously, we have the platform, the marketplace. We also offer assumption management services. So getting the assumption done is a huge friction point, and that's why more people are also entering our industry. It's because they see an opportunity to help process these quicker. So we step in, represent the buyer and seller, with the servicer to get them completed and successful. There's a lot of people that come to us, unfortunately, after they tried on their own and they get rejected after waiting a month, only to find out the deal fell through because you were missing this piece of this documentation. So the value that we provide is ensuring that your assumption gets done on time and stress-free. And we frankly charge a nominal fee when you look at some of our competitors who charge double, triple, or quadruple what we may offer.
Is that a percentage rate or is that a flat fee?
No, it's flat. We're doing flat fee.
Oh, good for you guys.
Yeah.
Cool. It sounds like you guys are aiming for growth. V, I have a couple questions. I just don't want to hog the mic.
No. So start to finish so I've heard the biggest issue with assumable loans is the timeline. Is that correct? And you guys, yeah. From what I'm gathering, and I don't know a whole lot about assumable loans. I have not done one yet. But I'm gathering that you guys are an additional third party to the process that speed things up, essentially.
Yeah, that's the idea. And it's something that, you know, kind of like we talked about with the education piece, you know, really people haven't done assumptions, not in mass. I think it's like on the order of like single digit thousands over the last like couple of years. So it's been really de minimis when you think about the whole size of the real estate market, like basically since like the 80s, because rates have just kept coming down and coming down and coming down. So there's kind of no need for it. And so a lot of the folks that we're talking with around the industry you know, and it depends on the servicer too, right? Servicers have drugged their feet and they've gotten their hand slapped now. And so they're starting, you know, it's starting to inch down. Certainly it's going to take longer than your typical real estate transaction, but it, you know, it is getting faster. And so that's something that we're kind of thinking we're, you know, kind of positioned at the nexus, you know, Ryan mentioned it, of the assumable world where everyone's kind of starting to pull in the same direction. And it's just, there are going to be fits and starts and, you know, people still need time to figure stuff out. But we think, you know, it's going places.
Pardon my ignorance. You sound like you're more well-read than I am. Good for you.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Which I am not very well-read. I've been in real estate for 15 years and you guys are right. And just for anyone who's not aware of what this looks like is that interest rates have been since what, like the 80s? 70s,
yeah,
maybe. They've been coming down from like the teens to the like single digits, and then like they were like as low as they could possibly be during the COVID era, and people were getting like 3%, if not less, interest rates. And it depends if you're doing 30-year, 15-year, stuff like that, like 10-year loan, like the shorter your loan, you know, essentially the smaller your interest rate could be. But right now, when interest rates are popping up back up to like 7-8%, and if you're an investor, 10%, if not more, then you're like, wow, at the prices. So think of your interest rate times your loan amount, and that's going to be reflective of what your effective monthly payment is going to be. I don't want to go through the mental math right now. I just had a shot and I'm drinking some Tejas tonic. but essentially, when you have a high interest rate and a high sales price, that's not great. And sales prices are, in my opinion, I think that they're coming down.
Yeah.
I think that we're doing what's called price discovery, and prices are kind of falling. The market's saying, yes, we'll accept that. Yes, we'll accept that. Yes, we'll accept that. Where it ultimately like ends up, who knows? And there's ebbs and flows in the market. So again, not investment advice. But you guys are coming into play because there's a lot of people who are sitting on very low interest rate loans. And y'all can take advantage of those low interest rate loans. But on my side, I have to think the sales price has to be still reflective of the current market with sales prices coming down. Like this works out well when you get a lower sales price and a low interest rate. You can't just keep the high sales price and capture this low interest rate, right? Like if we're thinking as like investors, you could say yes or no on this. This is not going to affect the app in any way, but like.
Well, I have personal experience. As we're talking, I have an assumable offer on a home.
Hell yeah, good for you.
I'm at the verge of eating our own dog food here at Assumable. I'm going to assume a home. And also, I own an assumable home. So when I list, someone can assume my 2.75% interest rate.
I'm assuming you also have to lock in the term, right? As well.
Oh, yeah.
You have like if you get a loan, you got to eat the whole dog food here, if you will. You can't just eat some of it. It's got to be the loan amount and also the interest rate and the term.
Interesting. And it just keeps going and going.
And on the pricing discussion, I think my personal experience I'm having right now, and I don't want to jinx it, but we'll see if the offer gets accepted. But it's in a market where it's listed quite high. And we're making an offer where I see the value of the home, and we're going to find something that works for buyer and seller. They are game for the assumption that's going to take a few months. So am I. You know, that's kind of equilibrium, right? If both parties aren't in agreement, this is free market economics. I'm willing to do this. Assumable is hopefully finding these people and uniting them. And so we're finding, now I can say personally, you talked about price discovery, that's still happening with Assumable. Some people theorize, well, if you're going to let them do the assumption, you get a premium. That's up to buyer and seller. In the market I'm shopping in, likely, you know, I'm going to be a little lower than list, but maybe when I sell my home in Phoenix, which is a hotter market, maybe there is some, I ask for more if I'm going to let someone assume my home. It's uncertain so far what the intrinsic value of that assumption is.
Depends on the market, depends on the deal, right? This is a situation that I think like you're really going to need, either you need to have experience or you're really going to need to have someone with an experience. I would recommend a real estate broker or someone with some financial knowledge. Although I feel like I'd have to do some reading for this just to really be specialized in this, but you'd have to find someone who could analyze that, do the math, and then let you know, hey, does this make sense right now compared to current interest rates, right? Especially if they're having to put down that much cash too.
Yeah. It's like, does this make sense comparatively? And you know, I'll disclose that it's not as big of a difference as it may be for others for my situation, but when it's said and done, I should be saving about $400 a month on the payment versus today's rates. And more importantly, saving almost double the amount of cash I would have to put down at today's rate. So when you weigh it out in your financial situation, if you're going through this, you decide if that makes sense for you or not, if it's worth the weight, you know?
Totally. And that's a case by case deal anyways. You may want a house that's at the, on the, hanging off the side of a cliff, or you may not want one that's hanging off the side of a cliff. I mean, the house is the house, right? So I think that's
oddly specific example.
Yeah, well, I wanted to create like something that's like either it's not going to like be appealing to you, or like I've got kiddos, and the last thing my wife wants is like some house off, you know, right next to a cliff. She's like, don't buy a house next to a cliff. It's like, they're not gonna fall off, it'll be fine, you know, we'll put up one of those nets that they do at like different places. Or something, like one of those like steel cage nets.
Jill, nervous, but
every deal's its own, right? Nothing exists in a vacuum here. Everyone's, you're gonna have to take and figure it out. How did you two come together?
So actually a mutual good friend, little known fact, Ryan grew up in the San Antonio area, went to high school with one of my good friends now. And so really just at our buddy's house. And we, this was right when all of the GameStop options shenanigans were popping off. And we're just,
yeah.
One day, we all had a slow work day, I'll say. We're just, you know, having beers, laughing about the situation and looking at the different, you know, options.
Did y'all buy in? Did y'all get some GameStop? What was that called? Gamergate? What was it called?
I made some money on it.
Did you? Good for you.
I made some money, yeah.
Ever so briefly, this is a really funny story. Can y'all tell Vanessa what happened with, or in the rest of the world who doesn't give a damn? can you tell what happened with the GameStop thing? Because I don't think I can express it.
So basically, folks on the, well, one particular gentleman in particular, I think it's Exploding Kitty, I think is his username. So he was making like a very specific and compelling case how GameStop was undervalued. And at the time it was being short sold quite significantly, which for anybody who doesn't know, it's where you basically borrow stock from somebody else and you sell it in the market and you hope to later buy it back at a cheaper price to, you know, make the delta or whatever. And so what they noticed was there was actually the float, the amount of stocks that were out there to actually trade was going down. And so they were like, wait a second. So if we just buy options on this thing to go up, then the market makers have to go out and buy the stocks so that they can actually deliver on the options, you know, if that were to happen. And so they just figured out, I guess, you know, glitch is kind of a goofy way to say it, but really a default or a fault in the way the market structure worked, right? And so that sent the stock through the roof. And I think this guy turned maybe a couple $100,000 into like 28 million or something. Like, it was some gigantic number. And yeah. And so people on Reddit noticed, they were following this guy.
Wall Street Bets.
Yeah, Wall Street Bets. And they're like, we're going to take this thing to the moon. And, you know, so that's how like aping and, you know, all these guys got into the, I guess, the common vernacular. But that all kind of settled down at some point. But it did result in some very wealthy people losing a lot of money.
People were betting that like GameStop was like, because you can buy games online. You can buy games through your console. So people were betting that GameStop was just going to plummet. And some people were like, they made a bet with a bunch of money that this thing was going to crumble. And some other people were just like, yeah, we see how these guys are kind of trying to like play this game here. So all these internet nerds hopped on.
Yeah.
And true, right? Internet nerds, no doubt. They hopped on. They were like, fuck these people like doing this thing. And we're going to, instead of it going down, we're all going to buy in, raise the price. So these people who had money that they borrowed from somewhere else, basically they were just getting screwed. But these were like big market players. Am I crazy?
I think there was a hedge fund, Gabe Plotkin ran it, and he was a disciple of Ken Griffin at Citadel. And so I think the guy, they lit like literally billions of dollars on fire, like losing money on that trade. It was pretty nutty. But that's how we met. And, and you from there, we're both kind of entrepreneurial guys. We like to think about ideas. We like to talk about ideas, and we've been tossing ideas back and forth at each other for, a couple of years now. And then when he came to me, this was really like late last summer, he was like, "Hey, like, am I crazy? Should this exist? Why isn't this, a bigger thing?" And then I was like, "It should exist, absolutely. Why doesn't it exist?" And then we started digging deeper and deeper, and now we've landed.
Y'all had this conversation because of the interest rate changes, right?
Yeah.
Does anyone have a financial background, or are you guys solely technical?
So I got my MBA at the University of Texas. I did an internship in investment banking, and so I know, enough to be dangerous. Yeah, right. Hook 'em. Yeah. And so when he came to me, it was really like my experience, having bought and sold several homes, with a VA loan. I hadn't done an assumable before, but I was like, wait a second. So if I have this, two handle loan on this house that I own, we could actually command. I think you talked about how prices need to come down. Super, super location dependent, right? If you ask people like to interpolate based on where the interest rates have gone, housing prices everywhere should be down 15% to 25% or 30%, depending on how much the market ran up. Austin, unfortunately, specifically, probably needs to come down even more. And so, but the thing is sellers are really stubborn, right? They don't want to take a $50,000, $100,000 bath on this home because they've been sitting and watching this estimate go up and up and up. And so, the more we've thought about this idea of assumable loans, it's a mechanism for, buyers to afford a home, homes with inflated values. And it's, a mechanism for sellers to get the number that they were hoping for because somebody can afford to pay more. So it's really, it's not going to be perfect for everybody. We talked about it. You might have to bring a little bit larger down payment, but it makes a lot of sense, especially for, I think I heard the number was something like 30% of homes, some huge number, are like cash buys right now still.
And 33% in 2023, or might have even been 36%, were cash purchases. So there's lots of money.
That's a lot. And that's before we're seeing, like, in 2008 through 2013, I guess, until it felt like the market rounded off. They said 2009 was the bottom of the Great Recession, but we had a huge credit crunch and people couldn't get credit. Credit's still readily available. It's just more expensive. So however you look at it, there's less. So more cash deals would make more sense. V, what's your question here?
I've got two, and they're I don't know if they're not really tied together, but my first one is, if you are a veteran and you buy or you take over an assumable loan, are you using your letter in that deal, or do you get to use the letter in
a swap?
So,
the entitlement stays with the home, but if you assume someone else's, they can take yours.
Got it. Okay. And then this is, I don't know, don't judge me on this question, but I had my first listing somewhat recently, and my seller bought in 2021. So he was locked into a very, very low interest rate.
Yep.
And I received I probably received 12 to 15 subject to type offers.
Sub two offers. I was going to ask about this too.
Subject twos.
Sorry,
that's pretty remarkable.
And hey guys, it is y'all. I would say it's a little bit of y'all's competition, but it's just as y'all would probably be more mainstream than they might be, because you're still trying to use traditional
subject
loans.
It's a really niche.
It's there just like you guys. It's their wave right now happening, and so everyone's looking for alternative financing or using traditional financing, so long as it's an advantage.
The risk on the seller is really high in subject two, because your name is still on the mortgage and you're trusting someone else to make your payments. And so the ones I'm seeing, because I'm plugged into some subject two groups, knowing when we were founding Assumable, this thing exists and maybe we should be aware of it or do something for it. So I see all these people in there, the conversations. A lot of people that go this route are distressed, frankly. Yeah. So there's desperate times. Yeah. They're willing to take a desperate offer, and it's unfortunate, but I definitely hear you. There's a lot of attention from investors because they get to pay a lower payment. They can rent it out and cash flow that way. But assumables are completely different. I want to make sure people know.
They're,
that's why I asked that question.
Everyone in the world, yeah. Not investment advice. pick and choose, do your own research, see why we have to have the disclaimers. You're totally right. It's just, how are people acquiring properties using alternative financing? I agree, the subject to, and I've dissuaded my sellers from this. I'm like, your name's still gonna be on there. If you're selling this property and you're not turning it into, which we have a property management company, it's like, let's just make some money for you. If they're needing to dispose of this property and get their name off the loan, then subject to has no benefit for them in that regard, and it still puts a lot of risk on there. Whereas you guys, hey, there is an intrinsically beneficial part of their loan that these particular sellers had that no one cared about until now. And this is why what y'all are doing is so special.
And that was one of the things I said to Lou in the beginning. It's like, my theory to start this was, I feel like the homes with this historically low rate, the actual valuable piece is the note and not even the real property. Like, the low rate that no one wants to get rid of. Hey, there's an opportunity to securitize it, right? Crazy idea above our heads. But if anyone wants to talk about something like that, I think it's a $1 billion idea, because these loans are not going to go anywhere for the next 30 years. And those that do, hopefully we'll go through the assumption, and they're going to be here to stay because they are that valuable.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Did I interrupt your question?
No.
Okay. I have another one while we still have time here before Zoom is, who knows when Zoom kicks us off. We'll have to have post-mortem sign off from you guys, but just know that we love y'all and care about y'all and hope that everything goes great.
All right.
Promote you as much as possible. You guys have been really cool. And by the way, we had a miscommunication on timing and whatnot. It happens. It's life. These guys have been so gracious to just bear with us. And even they had like their own like internal meeting on Zoom prior to this. It was like,
oh, that's cute.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can tell that they work together well. We were actually kind of communing about something, but let me go back to my question. We'll get back to brass tacks. Y'all mentioned FHA loans as well. Is this all FHA loans or some FHA loans?
FHA, VA, USDA loans since 1986 all have an assumable clause, and they all do not have. So for those people who are skeptical, like, oh, these guys don't know what they're talking about, they do not have the due upon sale clause, which ruled assumables back in the late 80s. So this is not the first time assumable loans have been a thing. It's just been so long since we were in an inflationary environment with rising interest rates that assumables were viable. These were completely normal in the late 80s. And funny enough, I was watching a film from the 90s, Coneheads, if anyone's ever seen it.
Yeah.
Classic. There's a scene in the movie where Mrs. Conehead is like, you know, Veldar, it's your the child is coming. We need to have a new home. Look, I found this. I did a good. That was a pretty good impression. Thank you very much.
That was great. I mean, good call. Good.
Has this classified ad for a home? She's like, look, a 7.85 assumable interest rate home, and I'm like, oh my god, it's the 90s, and these were common enough to be in a film. So this is nothing new. It's just anyone who remembers how to do them has aged out. So here we are, with a new market viable for assumptions. And FHA loans, VA, and USDA, all since 1986, which hopefully would be the ones you're looking at assuming. If you're still paying since 1986, not really sure what happened. Those are all assumable.
And I'll add a note. You know, we talked about this. There, we have seen a handful, like a really small handful of examples where there are private mortgages out there that are assumable. That's that example, Justin, that you talked about, where, you know, somebody's got to raise their hand and say, hey, this is actually assumable. And then you got to do the diligence to make sure that the docs line up with, you know, somebody raising their hand. Because we've also seen, again, very small, just a couple examples of, you know, agents saying, yeah, this is an assumable home. And we'd be like, well, it's not on our list, so maybe there's something in their docs. But yeah, it's we're not quite like wild, wild west here, but people are still kind of figuring it out and trying to understand like what they have. So
older agents, hang on real fast. Keep it. Hold it.
I will.
Put it in your heart. older agents are going to know about this stuff, but younger agents aren't even going to think to ask. And I'm thinking about, like, and I know that a lot of the stuff that I'm working with right now have not been with people who've held their loans for like a considerable period of time or anything like that. Most of these loans were only this brief, only this low because of how recently they occurred within the last few years. So, you know, not a lot of people are like looking at these loans for those opportunities. But now I think it's going to be a part of every question that I ask, like a seller or something like that. Like, let's take a look at your loan paperwork. Like, what can we do with this thing? I mean, let's try to make sure that. And I know that as interest rates were increasing in 22 through 23, right now they're kind of bumping up, and it feels more demand, less Jerome Powell, you know, stirring the stew, if you will. I know that a lot of people were trying to advertise it. But there's got to be a big enough need. They had choices at that point in time. Now I think with everyone trying to get in, investors always want to make money. This is something that I think can really be an advantageous tool for people in lieu of, you know, seller financing. Hey, there's still some opportunities here, and this is why this is important. You always just thought it was like the appendix, like the gallbladder, if you will, of loans. It's like, what's this thing here? And no one cared. They just left it on for some sort of
sounds
beneficial
confusing.
Purpose.
Yeah.
All right, that's my
no spirit. No. I think I agree, because I feel like with all the leads that myself and the agents I work with here at Ascension, in terms of leads we're receiving, there was a handful of individuals who purchased in 2021 for the sole reason of capitalizing on the low interest rate. They didn't buy the house because they love the house. And as agents, we know that in order for you not to regret your decision later on or resent it, you need to buy the house because you absolutely love the house and can't live without it.
Mm-hmm.
So for all those people that purchased for that reason, I mean, now they're stuck and they don't know what to do. And it's nice knowing as an agent that I've got an opportunity here to potentially help them.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? We think, and the reason we founded this company is because we think the assumable mortgage is the greatest money-saving opportunity Americans have had in history. For millions of people, this is a means to affordability of the American dream. So in today's economy, when everything is more expensive, everything is more stressful, people are earning less than ever before, when you want that American dream and to own a house, today's rates price out millions and millions of people. But the assumable mortgage gives you a time machine, and we have the keys to the DeLorean that can take you back and make things more affordable.
I feel you on that, Ryan. I love your references. Guys, we just got kicked off. Will you tell them? Will you please tell them Zoom strikes again? And thank you so much. We'll send them links and whatnot when
the
time comes.
Why not Google Meets? Okay, wait. My question for them.
Let's have a recap here, because like, it's gonna tell us that we have to wait for 10 minutes, or I gotta pay $160.
But my last question: if the individual assumes a VA or a FHA loan,
let's get into it.
Okay, buyer assumes.
Bear with us. We're getting nerdy.
Buyer assumes an FHA loan.
Buyer assumes FHA loan.
Okay.
They're out there. They find a house that they like. Good golly, Miss Molly, this house has an assumable loan. Let's take this on. Okay.
Okay. Can they refi later into a conventional, getting out of that, paying that mortgage insurance?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you could refinance out of anything. You can go get one loan to replace another loan pretty much at any point, as long as they're giving out loans and as long as those terms make sense. But would you want to swap out you're going to have to do the math. Would you want to swap out a loan with a 2.5 interest rate with 12 years left?
Duh, I forgot about that part.
For a 30-year, which might be an equivalent, a 30-year loan with a 8% interest
rate. Right, you just have to do the math.
You have to do the math. You won't know. Okay. I hope these guys will catch this, but like, goddamn, if y'all don't have a financial calculator on there, get a financial calculator on that thing. Y'all need to be able to like compare apples to oranges in some form
or
fashion.
Or just download the Austin Title app.
Those guys were good. Dude, how that guy was like whipping off like early 90s references, yeah. Back to the Future and all those other things. I'm glad I can still understand that and catch that now. You know, sometimes when I talk to these millennials over here that they don't like, what's a DeLorean?
It's like, what's Coneheads?
Yeah. You seen it? I mean, time comes for us all. Let me just tell you that shit. You think your references work? They won't after a while. It's honestly, like your grandfather talking to you about Popeye, and you're like, who the fuck are you talking about? Huh? Eat your spinach. There you go.
My boyfriend's obsessed with Matt and Shane's secret podcast show. Does anybody here watch that?
I love Matt. Oh, excuse me. I love Matt and Shane.
Wait, Shane and Matt?
Shane is hilarious.
It is so funny. And I can't help but like sit here now and like want to be them. Mm-hmm.
In a weird kind of way. Did you watch the president's episode?
They have
Louis C.K. on, okay. And they go through, they run through each, they like all kind of give their viewpoints on presidents, like one by one by one. And you're kind of like surprised at their knowledge, that their history knowledge. Well, but then the second time they're like, you're like, oh wow, they actually have like funny shit to say about these presidents, like just ripping on them and doing other.
Yeah. Like, it's fucking hilarious. Shane was a history teacher or something. History buff, wasn't he?
I could see that.
For like high school,
I can see that
he could just be.
It's a good thing he found comedy, because if not, he would make for the history professor at the high school football.
That's exactly like what he wants to do. Part time
high school football coach. Yeah, exactly.
I can see that. I love that show very much, and I think you, Justin, are doing a great job here.
Oh, thank you. Well, I appreciate you joining in. I hope you come join us for future episodes. Thank you for filling in for Juan Martin. I'm not sure how many episodes per month I can commit him to with his golden retriever like attention span. And I love him. I would want him here, but I also want to add in some new flavor. Mm-hmm. I think a little feminine energy
is necessary always, right?
Yeah.
Plus, I'm just an extension of him. So let's
well, and him. Just so everybody knows, if we can give a little spotlight on Vanessa. She is not our first agent, but she has been our longest running agent, and John and I both kind of brought her under our wing, and she's been with us for a very long time, and I hope that perpetuates. So and she's got a great personality, and I feel like she could add in. This was a little more nerdy of a podcast. Usually, like, if we're in studio and we have people, I have you come with those too.
Yeah.
If we have like people in studio, we can just start rip roaring, and
I feel like
I feel like your filter is like enough to where it's like, yes, let's add it. Let's add like Vanessa wild card.
I feel like
I have to be the wild card, or John's like the bulldozer sometimes.
And we mirror and match when one's not that.
If someone's being quiet, I got to add in, and vice versa.
Exactly.
Exactly.
But this was an informative one today.
Yeah, I know. And that's some of the feedback I've been getting.
Important information.
Yeah, it's really good. I've been feeding my curiosity. John's critique is that we need to bring the balls back, if you will.
Yeah.
And that's a flavored statement with you, not ball flavored, but
I understand.
That's a statement that even then, female, I still think you can kind of bring to that whole table, which is like, yeah, let's go back to talking shit.
Yeah.
Core values.
People like that.
People do like that, and I really wanted to ask them. I was like, so how do y'all get paid? Are y'all doing this bullshit Zoom stuff?
Wait, I need to know. Or, how do they get paid?
They said flat fee. They said flat fee versus like a percentage versus a percentage point or something like that.
Interesting.
But it's just them, and they're running this app, and I have to think like they were just like, it's us. They're like, we're answering the customer support. We're answering the stuff, and they're like saying that they hold. I have so many questions, you guys. If y'all are watching this, I have so many questions.
I do too.
I wish that Zoom hadn't been such a piece of shit, but you know, that's their business model. I'm glad you guys have a good one of your own. So, anyways, well, let's kick the show on the road, because we also have to contend with our editor. We don't want to run them too far into the ground on this one, but otherwise, V, put it up there.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course.
Excited to be here.
I know.
Always.
I know. Will you come visit us for future ones?
Yes, absolutely.
Wonderful. We'll need it. All right. Thanks, everybody. See y'all later. This is a wonderful episode of Rough Housing Podcast. I'm Justin Rourke. This is Vanessa Fallon. Have a great day. Go on again. Woo!